Imagine being surprised with an unexpected award. Have you ever wondered about the awards God has planned for you? In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul reveals the incredible rewards that believers have been given or will receive one day. From a new eternal body to a new purpose and passion in life, today, Stephen explores these divine awards and shows how they motivate you to live for Christ every day.
Perhaps you can remember at some point in your high school or university experience receiving some kind of award or some special honor. I'll never forget my high school award ceremony. The entire student body was there and all the faculty and you know, my friends were winning athletic awards and academic scholarships. I knew I had not won anything, and I didn't really care. I was just glad to be graduating in a couple of days. But then near the end of the ceremony, my name was read, and to my surprise, I was called to the front of the auditorium. Now, it related to an elective class I had taken that year with one of my friends. We both needed one more credit to graduate. Well, we decided to take the typing class. Almost as a prank, we joined that typing class with 20 senior high girls, and we were the only guys. Well, I think that was probably strategic, wasn't it? Well, without knowing it and without trying to, probably because of my years of playing the piano, I don't know, I ended up typing faster than all the girls in that class, and now, to my great embarrassment, I was called to the front and given the Excellence in Typing Award. It's the only award I ever received in all my schooling. And let me tell you, my friends never let me live that down. Well, as we sail into 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is announcing several awards that believers have either been given or will be given one day. Here in the opening verses, we're told that we're going to be awarded a new eternal body. Paul writes here in verse 1, "For we know that if the tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Now, it might help to know that Paul was a tent maker by trade. He knew that compared to houses, tents were temporary, and they weren't nearly as comfortable. Well, Paul compares here our human body, our earthly home, to a tent. And just as tents wear out and disintegrate, well, so does the body. You see, Paul is already looking forward to his eternal, perfected, glorified body. He writes here in verse 2, "For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling." Well, he's looking forward to no more pain, no more weariness, no more disease, no more physical limitation. Now, don't lose heart as you wait for that perfected body. Paul writes here in verse 6, "We are always of good courage." Well, why, Paul? Well, because even though we're down here, so to speak, assigned to this frail body, we have confidence that God is walking with us. And that's what it means, Paul writes here in verse 7, to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, can you imagine the thrill of that moment when you're called up and away? When walking by faith turns into walking by sight in your future glorified body. Well, in the meantime, you've been awarded with a brand new purpose in this present life. Paul puts it this way in verse 9, "No matter where we are, we make it our aim to please the Lord." So what's your purpose today? What's your aim today? Let me tell you, pleasing the Lord is the ultimate purpose in life. Whether you're performing surgery on someone or fixing a broken window or writing a contract or changing a diaper, Lord, you're praying, be pleased with the way that I'm tackling my job, my chores, my duties. Be pleased with my life today. Well, as Paul gives us More information here. He actually gives us some wonderful motivation for living with that kind of perspective. He writes here in verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Well, that tells the believer there's an award ceremony coming. We're all going to give an account here at the judgment seat of Christ. In the Greek language, it's called the Bema. And let me tell you, this appointment is not to determine whether you're getting into heaven. Everybody appearing before the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, is already going to heaven. They're already heading there because they're believers. In fact, this judgment is going to take place after you've arrived in heaven. So this evaluation is not to see whether or not you get in, but to reveal how you lived on your way there. This is an award ceremony for your acts of service. Paul writes here, whether they were good or evil. I think it's a little confusing to translate it this way, the word evil here. Paul uses a different Greek word than the usual word that's translated evil. The word here is a word that carries the idea of worthless rather than something that's morally evil. In other words, this isn't a judgment to reveal your sin. Your sin's already been covered by the blood of Christ. This judgment is to discern between what was worthless about your life and what was worthwhile. Why? Well, so that the Lord will reward you then for every act of worthwhile service, every faithful duty performed, whether it was fixing that broken window or changing that dirty diaper. Let me tell you, beloved, I think we're going to be surprised to find God rewarding our every effort. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, that God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name. In other words, God is going to be faithful to remember everything. There's an eagerness, as it were, in God to reward every single act of service, every duty, every chore performed by you and me, his children. Now, with that, Paul tells us here that we've been awarded a new passion in life. He writes here in verse 11, "Knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others." Now, fear of the Lord is not the kind of fear that makes you want to run and hide from God. Paul is referring to this profound respect, this sense of awe that we have. We want nothing more than to persuade others to respect and worship this awesome, this true and living God. There's something else motivating Paul. He writes about it here in verses 14 and 15. "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him, who for their sake died and was raised." Listen, beloved, we don't serve God because he's holding a club over our head. We serve him because he loves us. He has accepted us. We're safe. We are secure in Christ who died for us. In fact, his love has made everything new for us. Paul writes it this way in verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Now, we still have an aging body. We still have a sinful nature. But we've been redeemed. We've been forgiven by faith in Christ alone. And the Holy Spirit now indwells us. Well, that old life has passed away. Literally, Paul writes it this way. It is passing away. That is little by little. And the new life has come. Well, Paul tells us that we've been awarded then this new assignment. That's one more new thing here. He writes this in verse 20. "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us." I like to think about the fact that you and I have been assigned to an embassy post wherever you live. You might be living in your home country, the country of your birth, but you belong to the country of your new birth. You're a citizen of heaven. You've been assigned as an ambassador by your king in the place where God has appointed you. God is making his appeal, his gospel appeal to the world, Paul writes, through you, through your testimony as an ambassador of Christ where you've been assigned. So be encouraged today. You've been given the award of a new assignment. So live it out with this new passion and this new purpose. And one day, you're going to be given the award of a new body, a new home in heaven. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, the president of Wisdom International, and this is the Wisdom Journey. Today, you are reminded of the special awards God has for you, including a new body, a new purpose, and a new passion. May these promises encourage you to live faithfully and look forward to your heavenly rewards. One of Stephen's greatest passions is training and equipping men and women for service to God. That's why he founded Shepherd's Theological Seminary and serves as its president. Graduates of Shepherd Seminary are making a significant impact in their churches and communities worldwide. Many have earned their degrees and gone on to plant new churches, while others are faithfully serving as pastors in existing churches. If you or someone you know is interested in graduate-level theological training, I strongly encourage you to consider Shepherd's Theological Seminary. The seminary offers a 100% paid scholarship for qualified men who aspire to be pastors. If you're willing to study in person in Cary, North Carolina, commit to a full-time 3-year program, and your goal is to serve as a pastor, this opportunity might just be perfect for you. For more information, visit wisdomonline.org/STS. Shepherd's also welcomes those who want to deepen their understanding of the Bible and theology without committing to full-time ministry. Learn more at wisdomonline.org/STS. I'm Scott Wiley. And for Stephen and the Wisdom team, thanks for listening. Join us next time to continue traveling along the Wisdom journey.